Good morning. This time our children may be dismissed for junior church. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 7. An announcement that is not in your bulletin is we will have a business meeting 2 weeks from today. So October 8th, 2 weeks from today, we will have a business meeting following the morning worship service. Acts chapter 7. Starting with verse 17, Acts 7:17. And I'm going to read all the way down to verse 37. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. He dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wrongdoing his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Now, when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led him out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for this story of Moses. And we just see your providential hand, your sovereignty working through individuals like Joseph, as we looked at last week, and Abraham, and now Moses. Father, may all of us here this morning understand that you have created and saved us for a purpose, that all of us have a calling from you, that we are being sent out by you, for you, to make disciples of all nations. Father, may we be focused in the mission that you had called us to perform. May we be diligent. May you encourage us as you sovereignly place us in trials to conform us to the image of your Son. Father, I pray if there are any unbelievers here this morning, that they would clearly understand what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead. That's the gospel. The gospel needs to be applied. And it's applied by faith, by trusting in Christ's provision, in his death on the cross and resurrection for eternal life. Pray if there's someone here who's never trusted in Christ for salvation, that today they would humble themselves, put away their pride, and understand because of their sin, they need a Savior. And Christ is the only one that can wash away their sin. I also pray for every believer represented here today. I pray that we would be encouraged as you sovereignly place us in specific places and put us through specific trials and circumstances. May we remain focused on what you've called us to do. We're not Moses, and you don't want us to be Moses. You had a plan for him. But as you had a plan for Moses, you have a plan for us. May we understand that individually and collectively as a church. May we seek you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like Moses, every single believer has a calling and is being sent out by God to fulfill the purposes that he has called them to. Every single one of us. A calling is this not for those in full-time ministry. Every single one of us has been called by God, every believer, and sent out to use our abilities, our spiritual gifts, to fulfill his purposes. Therefore, as Moses was, we are all a part of the unfolding plan of salvation, which will eventually usher in the messianic kingdom. That's our hope, the eternal state. Part of that plan involves putting us through stuff, difficult trials and situations, so he can work in us, so therefore he can work through us. Like Moses, all of us are put into certain places, certain times, to live for him in the midst of difficult times. He's created us, and he saved us to perform his purposes. There was a young child. She was wandering in a garden. She came across this very beautiful flower. I mean, it just caught her eye. The fragrance was wonderful. And she continued just to kind of gaze at this flower and was amazed by the beauty of this flower. Then her eyes started to go down the stem of the flower. And then she noticed that the flower, the stem, went down into this dirt. And she didn't think the dirt was that attractive. So she thought to herself, this flower is so beautiful, it smells so wonderfully, but it's in this dirt. Surely I can do something about this. So this young child, she removes this flower, this plant, from the ground. She takes it inside. She washes off the dirt. And as everyone probably can guess, what happened to that flower? It withered and died. Well, the gardener found out about this. He said, why did you do this? Why would you remove this plant from the dirt? I purposely put it here with the right type of soil, the right mixture, so that plant could thrive. Why would you remove it? She says, well, I didn't think the dirt looked too good. I didn't like the way the dirt looked. So I removed that plant and I washed it off. And look what happened. Often, as believers, we murmur, complain because of the circumstances that God has tailor-made for us and put us in. Sometimes very difficult circumstances that we need to be in that dirt of life. And He knows exactly what we need. So He places us there so we can thrive and grow and become more like His Son. Therefore, we can then perform the purposes that He has created us and saved us for. And that's exactly what we find in the life of Moses. Stephen is taking us through history. It's a beautiful sermon. He's refuting the claims. First of all, he refuted the claim that he blasphemed God. And now he's refuting the claim that he was against Moses and the law of Moses. And he shows the Sanhedrin council just the opposite, that he's not only understands the nation of Israel, their history, but now is also then applying that history to their present rejection of their Messiah. That this is a repeated pattern in the nation's history. Moses they rejected, the brothers, the patriarchs. And then we also see the nation of Israel in this text rejecting Moses. Now look at verse 17. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. So God, in His sovereignty, as we looked at the story of Joseph last week, there's famine there was plenty of crops for 7 years and abundance, and then there was famine for 7 years. But God let Joseph know about that through the dreams, so then he could properly prepare, and he was elevated to second in charge, just under Pharaoh. So God then used that situation to bring the brothers to Joseph, and then 75 people came, and then the nation just flourished in Egypt. Just flourished. Now, it wasn't his ultimate plan to keep them in Egypt. He wanted them to bring them to the land of Canaan. He wanted to get them out of Egypt. The Pharaoh rose, didn't know Moses. I'm sorry, didn't know Joseph. And he saw that the people of Israel, they were just multiplying. Just God was really multiplying this nation. He was getting a little concerned how large they were becoming. First, he tried to talk to the Hebrew midwives and say, hey, if any sons are born, make sure you kill them. But they feared God and they wouldn't do it. So then his plan was, okay, any sons are born, let the daughters live. But any sons that are born, they are to be cast into the Nile. And the parents of Moses, he was born in. Verse 20, the time Moses was born, he was beautiful in God's sight. And we also read that text in Exodus, means he could have been literally a handsome baby, but is also favored. We don't know how much information God gave Moses' parents that he would become the future deliverer of his people. But the idea is that he was favored. So when he was born, brought up for 3 months in his father's house. When he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. So Stephen's not giving us every detail, and you can read in your own time in Exodus. But he was cast into the Nile River, but he was placed in a basket. And providentially, the daughter of Pharaoh found him. And providentially then, hey, I need someone to nurse this child. Well, guess who became the nurse? Moses' mom. So Moses' mom had influence in the life of Moses for several years, most likely. And then eventually, he was then sent back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So he grew up as Pharaoh's grandson, with all the privileges, with all the training. 40 years, that's his first 40 years of Moses' life. But we get the impression too, we don't know all the details, but that the parents maybe instilled the truth into Moses as a young child, and maybe he had continual influence too as he was growing up, but he was also instructed in the way of the Egyptians. And God did not waste any of it. Just like he does not waste anything that you and I go through. There's seasons and there's time for specific things you and I have to endure. Sometimes they're difficult things. Sometimes they're just great times in the Lord. But God does not waste any of it. He was performing his purposes through Moses. He had to work out some things in Moses' life. Look at verse 23. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. So Moses had compassion for his people. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. Now, we don't know if Moses meant to kill the Egyptian, but it happened. It happened. Now, verse 25 is a key verse. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. This is an interesting part of this story here. On one hand, we have Moses kind of maybe trying to do it his way. He realizes that God has put him in a place to become the deliverer of his people. But he seems to be kind of presumptuous here, and he's getting ahead of God, and he's doing things his own way. But on the other hand, we see how Stephen then uses this, how the people of Israel at this time were not ready to accept Moses' leadership as the deliverer. They rejected it. What did they say? Who made you ruler and judge over us? Verse 27. And then Stephen, using that in verse 35, this Moses whom they rejected. So on one hand, God is sending Moses to be the deliverer. He kills the Egyptian to defend the Israelite. The next day, he sees now two Israelites disputing. And he says, well, I'll try to help them out. But then he gets the response he did not expect. The man who was wronging his neighbor, verse 27, thrust him aside, saying, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? At this retort, Moses fled. And Exodus tells us that Pharaoh found out about this in Exodus 2:15 and sought to kill Moses' life. So he fled. First 40 years, living as Pharaoh's grandson, comes the realization that God wants to use me to deliver my people. But then he kills an Egyptian. Pharaoh finds out about it, says, I'm going to take his life, so he flees. And the next 40 years, he lives as a shepherd. He's a Midian. God blesses him, though, with two sons, a wife. So that was his second 40 years. Now let's look at his third the start of it, verse 30. And when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, in a flame of fire in a bush. Now you read this account in Exodus, it's called the angel of the Lord. You read it in its context, it's just not any angel. This, I believe, is the pre-incarnate Christ in the bush. Jesus Christ, before he took upon human flesh, that's what I mean about pre-incarnate. The incarnation is when Christ took upon human flesh. So when we see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, most likely that's a reference to Christ. Because he's the eternal Son of God. He wasn't created like you and I were. He took upon human flesh. He's always existed. So Moses has an encounter, I believe, here with Christ. He's amazed at the sight, and he drew near to look. There came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Can you imagine if that happened to you? How you would respond. The reason he appeared to him, because he had a plan and a purpose for Moses. Just like he has for every single one of us. If you are here this morning, you have trusted in Christ, he has called you and gifted you to do specific things. Yes, ultimately it's to bring glory to God, but it's our job as we surrender ourselves daily to his will to discover what specific things God wants us to do. God was very clear with Moses, wasn't he? He said, "Take off the sandals from your feet, from the place you are standing as holy ground is holy," because God's presence was there. "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their groaning, and I've come down to deliver them, and now I will send you to Egypt." Now they're ready to be delivered. 40 years had passed since he fled. Now, Moses, you're ready. Now the people are ready. "I will deliver my people from Egypt." Moses became focused. He had to go through some stuff first. It's an interesting account when you read in Exodus, kind of bringing up specific arguments. Some, it was just, "Hey, who should I say sent me? What's your name?" Because he was concerned that he would go back to Egypt and they'll be like, "Well, who are you? Why should we listen to you?" And God said, "I am that I am. Tell them I am that I am has sent them." The eternal God in all he is has sent Moses. Well, he has some other questions. One concern was, he basically, as he's going through these different arguments, and God said he would be with him and he would speak to him through him, but he basically said, "Hey, I'm slow of speech. I'm going to struggle with this." He said, "Please send someone else." And it says God became angry towards Moses. And then he provided his brother Aaron. He wasn't letting Moses get out of it. And he knew Moses was the man, but Moses had to work out some things. He did show some lack of faith there, and God had to put him through some things. So he provided Aaron as his spokesman. But then when he gets down there with his staff, I mean, his faith is very strong. His purpose, he knows exactly what God had called him to do. It was a very difficult task, but he was able to stay focused and do what he was called to do. And that's what we struggle with as believers, staying focused on what God has called us to do. We can get distracted by all these other things, But if we don't see it through the eyes of God, we're not understanding how this all fit together, or we get off track on what's really important, what God has really called us to do. There's a story involving Yogi Berra, well-known catcher for the New York Yankees, and also Hank Aaron, the home run king for the Milwaukee Braves. Yogi Berra was known, kind of talk trash. He was a catcher, and batters would come up. You know, he would try to get them off their game so they couldn't concentrate on hitting. So he would talk some trash to the batters. It was during the World Series, Hank Aaron came up to plate. And Yogi said, "Hey, Hank, you're not holding the bat right. I mean, you got to hold it so you can see that trademark." Which we all know doesn't matter. He's just trying to get to his head. He's trying to get him so he can't focus on swinging that bat. Well, Hank just ignored him. And he's just chattering away, trying to get him off focus. And Hank Aaron just ignored him. And that pitch came and left field home run. And he rounds the bases. And when he steps on home plate, he told Yogi, "I didn't come here to read." Great line. "I didn't come here to read." He was focused. He didn't allow the distractions to keep him from what he came to do. Hit the ball and hit it well. And did it for several years. You and I are so prone to be distracted, becoming distracted of what God has called us to do. Even just generally, what is the church all about? What is the church called to do? Well, Jesus, we don't have to second guess it. Jesus tells us in Matthew, the Great Commission, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We are to go like Moses was sent out. We are sent to make disciples. That involves teaching them. Because it goes on to say, teaching them everything, to observe everything I've commanded you. It starts with seeing souls being saved. I'm thankful for those that God brings to our fellowship. Some people will come, they move here, and or God's just led them here. They're already believers. We call that transfer growth. Really, where my heart is, what I would like to see us major in at West Pines is conversion growth. I also understand that sometimes that requires some training. We're going to be looking at things in our church, the things we can do, so that you feel equipped. We got to make sure that we are clear on what the gospel is, first of all. It's amazing. Statistics show that a lot of churchgoers couldn't even explain the simplicity of the gospel. So I want you to listen to this in 10 words, the gospel. I'm going to have you say it after me. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. The gospel in 10 words. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. That's the gospel. That's it. Now, to receive the gospel is through faith, to have it applied to the individual life. See, Christ died for the sins of the world and rose again from the dead. But it's up to the individual to respond to the gospel. But you first got to know what the gospel is. It's what Christ did for us on the cross through his death and resurrection. And it's amazing how a lot of people cannot simply understand that, or they can't communicate that. So I want to make sure that we just understand what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead. That's the gospel. And that needs to be our purpose and our focus. Moses was part of this plan of salvation. He was used to deliver the people out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. And eventually, through King David's line, the Messiah was born. That brings me to verse 35. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge?" This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, listen to this, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers." He was Moses, Deuteronomy, was referring to Christ. You see what Stephen's doing here? He was accused of blaspheming God, Moses, and he turns it around and shows the history of the nation was rejecting deliverers. They rejected Joseph initially, the patriarchs did. They initially rejected Moses. And then Moses says, there's going to be a prophet that's going to come. And he's going to be the true deliverer. Moses was used to deliver the people physically, but Christ came to deliver everyone from their sin. 1 John 4:9. "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him." That's why He came. He was sent by the Father. Hebrews 11:26. In closing, talking about Abraham, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He went through stuff. He was in the dirt. But in any of those times, he grew. And he was used immensely by God to perform His purposes. All of us, as believers in Christ, we have a calling. You are being sent out. "Go therefore to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Go and make disciples." We are called to be sent out to tell others that Jesus saves. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If there's anyone here this morning that has not accepted Christ as their Savior, the gospel is Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. How do we receive the gospel, forgiveness of sins? It's faith. It's trusting in what Christ did for us. We're saved by grace alone, the work of Christ on the cross and resurrection, through faith alone. In Christ alone. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The simplicity of the gospel. Christ paid for our sins. He died. Rose again from the dead. And He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, who trusts in Him, who believes, puts their faith in Christ, is gloriously saved. They're born again. Their sins are washed away. It's removed. They become a child of God. If you've never asked Christ to save you, you've never trusted in Him, today can be your day of salvation. Or maybe you're here this morning, you've trusted in Christ, And you're not really understanding all this stuff that's going on. But you can be reassured. You can be encouraged. God doesn't waste anything. He knows exactly what He's doing. And He has placed you specifically in certain jobs, in certain churches, in certain communities. And He puts you in certain trials to conform you to the image of Christ so that you are well equipped to live out your calling. Moses had to be equipped. Paul had to be equipped. All of us need to be equipped. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, becoming more like Christ inwardly so then we can share Christ outwardly. Maybe you're here this morning, you know someone you want to share Christ with. You want to share the gospel that Christ died for their sins and rose from the dead. And you want to pray for them this morning before you do so. Whatever the need is, just come. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. This is the day that You have made. We will rejoice. Thank You for the life of Moses. What a great example. Just how You use people. You send us out. I pray that every single one of us understand that we are called to live for You and not for ourselves. May we make the most of every opportunity to live for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand, have a verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come.